Welcome to Have You Heard, where we talk about issues at the intersection of agriculture and engineering. Let's get started. Here are your hosts, Morgan Hayes and Josh Jackson.
Welcome. This is the Have You Heard podcast. This is episode 69, talking today about fence line maintenance, clearing those fence lines out. I'm Morgan Hayes, an assistant professor in biosystems and ag engineering at the University of Kentucky, focusing on livestock facilities. And in my personal life, I farm in Boyle County, Kentucky with my husband, commercial cattle and hay operation.
And I'm Josh Jackson, assistant professor in biosystems and agriculture engineering as well. Well, I focus on precision livestock farming. In my personal life, we raise goats and cattle and do some hay production.
So before we get into the fence line clearing, fence line maintenance, let's talk a little bit about what's been happening on the farm.
This past weekend, we didn't do any manure spreading, but we were able to move a couple big trees. We had some big logs we were going to try to get some lumber out of. So it was a big white oak. So we decided to go ahead and move it. So we had to have our big equipment to actually get the tree loaded up on a wagon. And then we did have some hay that we were able to move home. I think that was Sunday. And we're also, another brother was cutting up a bunch of wood. So it was kind of one of those weekends we just did a lot of random jobs.
Yep, I understand. Yeah, we, over the weekend, we worked on clearing some more things out. We have one fence line we're trying to get fenced before we leave town. And it's probably not going to happen, but that little bit of final bush hogging, especially on some of our hay fields, just cleaning up edges, which has meant clearing some trees out of the way to be able to clear edges. The windstorms this year, a lot of things got knocked down and out of the way in the hay field, but didn't get picked up, and the edges were challenging.
Yep.
And so a little bit of clearing that kind of stuff, and then also.
You go through there with the skid steer and grapple, I guess, to pick up limbs?
Some of them, and in some cases, just move them out of the way altogether. A little bit of both happened. We have a bunch of wood right now down and nowhere to go with it because no one's using it currently.
Oh, yes.
We're currently not burning any of the wood, which is not typical for us. So a little bit will be cut up for us, a little bit for some others who would. Just getting everything where it needs. We did spread a little bit of manure last week. I'm not sure if we did it before or after we last week, but a little bit more manure got spread.
Okay.
And just knocking out a few small tasks, sort of like you said, just we're in that fall cleanup, get things ready, get things blown off, put in the barns, all of those things sort of happening.
Yep. I mean, it is that time of year because we've blown off some of our equipment, you know, with the leaf blower on our hay equipment. We actually wash our baler. A big annual wash in the baler.
So
we do usually after every use, we kind of wash out and spray out the sides and we'll have a deep clean at the very end of the year. So it's one of those maybe unique thing, but I really like to do it.
We blew off our round baler and our square baler. Actually, both of them are now put up for the. I don't think either of those have any real major calls for maintenance this winter, which is good. We have other things that need some maintenance this winter, but those two are both okay. We've had a number of tires go flat this fall.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if we're picking stuff up in the field, but since we've had a number of fencing jobs too, it's possible we're picking up wire from old fence, things like that. But we've had now 3 tires go flat in the last week. So okay, 2 front tractor tires and 1 rear.
Ooh.
The rear, I think... was a valve stem, and it looks like it actually got like dust or dirt into it, and it was just leaking enough, but it wasn't hissing. Got that repaired, the front tires, but those were definitely wire related. So the tubed tires. So
yeah.
Ironically, one was the wrong tube, the one that was out earlier this summer and was replaced by the tractor. Oh well. So now, hopefully, this time it'll hold.
Okay.
But we'll see. So that's what's been going on, is just lots of little headaches. We have one cow left to calve, and husband tried to push her up, and she went absolutely...
Really?
Yep, she was a little wild. She's never been wild. I think she's just at that point where she's at the end of pregnancy, and the hormones are a little crazy right now, but... it may be a God be with you scenario at this point, because she's... very much not interested in being near a human. So hopefully she calves comfortably and doesn't need an intervention, because I'm not sure we can give her one if she...
Okay.
But this one animal has been holding out for about 2 weeks by herself. Everything else is calved out, so she's keeping us honest.
Yeah, we had two open animals, and they went off to the great beyond, but they, in doing so and getting them up, they were fine. Then they got into the back lot, and then one was no longer fine, jumped the fence, and tried to go across the road, went across the road. And so it became a lot more of an issue. So yeah. She decided it was just the right being open, and must be the right time, you know.
Yep, it was the right time for her to leave the farm.
Yep.
Did you? I know you sold a few at the Angus sale. How did that go?
It didn't go too bad. You know, we were happy with what we got for them. So everybody always wants more, but I think we were happy.
Yep. Yep. We sold two open cows as well last week, and you always would hope for more, but you have to be happy with what you get. And the dollars are still very good right now on cull animals.
Yeah.
So no complaints there. We processed meat, and that was supposed to come back this week, but the processor had an issue with their computer, which meant their scales were down. So that meat's going to sit in the freezer for a little bit longer because it was definitely an incident on there.
Okay.
But at least that meat got processed and is in the freezer. We're selling meat. But that, I mean, all of that's good things. Those are income streams coming in, hopefully, in the next.
Yep.
No complaints on that.
Always good when you get a little bit of income streams, you know, just at this time of year, because you usually have the big kind of the spring sell, or like it's the end of May, mm-hmm. early June sell of cattle. And, you know, this time of year, you get maybe some, and it could be up to December, you know, if you do the CPH sales.
Yeah, what's interesting is actually we tend to hold our group that we wean here in October until the next year. So we actually sell in early spring, March, and then again in May, June.
Okay.
So for us, we actually right now would love to sell these calves this fall, but we have to make a decision on our taxes if we sell three groups in 2023, or if we want to hold that group until January, February. But the way cattle prices are, we will have to do a pretty aggressive evaluation here at the end of the month and make that decision. Maybe we'll find an economist.
Yeah, it's supposed to be on my to-do list, but...
but there's still time, but we still got decisions to make. So maybe we'll have one on to talk a little bit about the market. Before we go too far off topic, though, let's talk a little bit about fence line maintenance, because that's the other thing that's happening right now. We're putting in a fence. We're maintaining fence lines. I think I mentioned that a few weeks ago, that we have two of our three. That is our primary method of maintaining fence lines, is mowing as well as we can and then weed eating what we can't.
Yeah, and we have that same philosophy. So we'll go down and we'll try to hit... We'll do the general field bush hogging, and then we'll do kind of a more close with the small 8-foot bush hog right beside the fence line, as close as we can get. Hit that on both sides, and then we'll also go back through, and sometimes if we can and it's available, usually it's just a time constraint. We're trying to do hay or other stuff. Like we'll just have a younger brother go along and spray the fence line with 2,4-D sometimes. Mm-hmm. That's usually we try to hit every once or 1 or 2 years, hit the fence line with 2,4-D, just knock back any broadleaves.
Yeah, I think that's not a bad idea. We actually went through and actually our weed eater with a blade on it this year on a couple fence lines where we've had some rose bushes really fighting us. They'll probably be back next, being 100% honest, because we didn't spray them. We don't tend to spray any of our fence lines. Just concerns about erosion on them. 2,4-D would allow blade grasses to still grow. You probably wouldn't have quite such an issue as you would if you some of the herbicides.
And really, like on our fences where we have the goats, you know, the rose bushes, everything else, they've been able to knock a lot of those back, knock the rose bushes and cedars back for us. So that's been a huge help, because we just let them out there do their thing. And if it's short enough, or if it's too tall for them, we'll just cut off the top and let them have it. And so then they kind of knock it back, and pretty much hasn't come back yet. And so they've been fairly helpful. A lot of those fence lines where we just have the cattle or a high tensile electric fence, we're definitely going through there and we're weed eating. We have to go in there as well, you know, occasionally we get a couple of trees grow right next to the posts. And I really like just a handheld electric saw, a little small electric saw, about a 5-inch blade or 5.5-inch blade. I've used that, and so I got the little Milwaukee. So my, you know, brand of choice is Milwaukee. So most of the stuff, I just try to have it all interchangeable.
From a battery interchangeability, you have to choose a brand and be committed to it. Yeah, I'm not picky. We use DeWalt's just because we DeWalt tools. But don't. I hope my husband's not listening to this. That's what he's getting for Christmas because Josh has been so happy with this small saw, the small electric saw, battery powered. I never really thought about it, but it really convenient to have something like that that's not overwhelmingly large and heavy, and that you're not trying to do a pull start just to cut one small thing. I mean, it's not a huge problem. We've actually built one of our trucks to have truck boxes, and we've built the truck boxes so we can actually have our saw, chain oil, the oil gas mix, all of those things fit into this one truck box, because when we're driving on the farm and we have a tree down or a limb down, we can clean up what we need right away. And it's useful, but it's a solid 15 or 20 minute process to get the chain out, make sure it's tightened correctly, start a chainsaw up and use it. And it's not a small chainsaw that we have. It's not one that I want to go out and use by myself.
Right.
I mean, I can. It's not something I'm incapable of doing, but I am a little bit like hesitant to do it because it takes so much time. It's such a big pull. It's a 20-inch blade on it, or 22. I'm not sure. But it's a large commercial chainsaw because we cut a lot of trees in the year. This small one would be really nice for, like, right now I have the most annoying locust tree that has grown up where I close one of my gates.
Oh, yeah.
And if I'm out there and I have on a t-shirt or shorts, I really regret the decision that I decided to come and help out on the farm that day. I'm being a little bit cynical about it, but it does. It's like painful. And I never have a pair of loppers with me, and it's big enough that I can't just break it off. You know, it's about 2 inches on the main stem of the tree, on the trunk. And a little handheld saw like that would be really useful. So I am really hoping that I love this gift that I've given to my husband for Christmas.
It is. I've had that little saw, and so you just go down there, take a knee, and then you cut, especially on some of those trees where you get them, where they snake their way through the fence line. It's easier to take a little cut and break it apart. You know, it's easy to get in there, but we've had a couple that we've, you know, bought property and it's been neglected for a number of years. We can go through there and still correct some of the issues that are taking place.
Yeah, and we have some really nice extension pubs with Chris Toy Jaidu on offsets, electric offsets. And I really believe in an electric offset, but you do have to clean up that fence line, even for an offset. We're suggesting one that runs 8 inches away from the main fence and allows for an older fence to still be viable by giving a little bit of protection so animals don't rub and push on that fence.
Yeah.
It works great, but it doesn't work great when there's a bush growing in the middle of the fence because it goes out more than 8 inches. So for me, this is a really useful thing if it allows me on like my rented farms and things like that to run an offset to get some of that
additional brush and brambles.
Brush and brambles, exactly. Yeah, out of that line so I can use electricity to protect that fence to hopefully make it last a little bit longer until someone's invest in new infrastructure.
And for us, you know, we go through there and we'll cut off, you know, the different limbs and stuff, but it is handy. I'm trying to think because it's sometimes those little ones that are hanging over as well.
Oh,
so you can reach up and we have a pole saw, but I was like, oh, I'm not, you know,
it's not tall enough to need the 20 or 30 foot pole saw.
Yeah, you don't need the 20 or 30. You don't need all that extra.
And you're not supposed to use your large chainsaws over your head if we're 100% honest. Like, from a safety perspective, the pole saw is designed to be used that way. The regular chainsaw is too big and it's too much stuff going on to have that over your head. A smaller battery-powered one probably still shouldn't be done directly overhead, but reaching up with something that's a couple pounds is a little different than one that's 15 or 20 pounds.
Yeah,
it's all definitely said and done. It's a little bit safer, and you can hold it at the full reach of your arm without having a lot of danger associated with it, the same way that you would have your gas-powered chainsaw.
And on some of those, like, we see the problem, and so I well, I ignore some of the brambles just mm-hmm. because I wait till winter time, good cold day when the ground's firm. I go out there with my coveralls on, my gloves and everything else and a hat, and then I can get underneath there and cut it all up and not have to, you know, be worried about it poking me to death, yeah. It seems like. So
it's coming up on that time of year though, isn't it, Josh? Yes. It's getting here very quickly, it feels like. So now, one of the other things I wanted to talk about with the fence line maintenance is I typically like on my smooth wire, electrified smooth wire fence, the high tensile fences, 5 wires for my perimeters. But we have started putting in 4 wire fences for some of our interiors, understanding that we have a risk of some animals getting through that fence underneath it, especially small calves and where we have waterways and ditches that some things can sneak under that bottom wire. But that 4 wire fence gives us enough more height that we can actually mow up against it.
Okay.
And so we don't always run our zero turn or our mowers there, but we have some belly mowers and some zero turn mowers that we could run and have in some places run to keep us from having to weed. I mean, it still takes quite a bit of time either way that you do it. It takes a lot of time to clear a fence line. Either way that you look at it, the one benefit is that anywhere that we have temporary fencing, we just pull it all up and mow it.
Yep.
The bush hog. And that's really nice to do. On the other hand, I have to set up that temporary fence again when I get done.
Well, yeah, and it's hard. You know, you couldn't pull up the fence this time of year because it's just, sure. if you could pull it up, but you can't put it back down. Can't put it back down.
Yeah, that's right. True.
And so that's a challenge sometimes. Like, so but this time of year, we're getting pretty much done with, like, similar to you, we're almost done with our rotations.
Yep. I don't know if we'll get one more graze on a couple fields or not. We've had a little bit of rain, but it's been so dry so much of the fall.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that we're going to get a lot of late fall, winter grazing. And we've pretty much eaten what we've had just because we were afraid it would
up. And we had, what was it, the 5th driest September on record, I think, according to Matt Dixon, across the statewide.
Yeah. And I think it depends on where you are exactly, but it was definitely not a particularly wet fall.
Yeah, so we were in the same boat, definitely dry. And you know, we if it had rained, if we got a good 2 inches of rain middle of September, we'd probably been okay. But
yep. Yeah, unfortunately we just didn't have that, and we have to just sort of acknowledge it. What I did find is that with it being a drier fall, we have some things that have come up in the fence line, but part of our fence lines got weed-eated earlier in the summer. And they have not grown up with much else.
Okay.
Good. Sometimes we get some of this late fall growth and regret that you cleaned up those fence lines a little too early. This year we didn't have that. Hmm. I don't know how you felt about it, but I just haven't seen a lot of, I mean, some Johnson grass and things like that. But I mean, those things are pretty easy, and most of the animals
knock it back. Yeah, I mean, this year we hadn't had too many issues with stuff growing up in the fence line, you know, this late in the fall. I think it was fairly clean. And like you said, we have a metal blade, so any issues, it usually takes care of them pretty handily. Yeah. I have seen a couple more ash trees here and there, it seems like, but I don't know whether it's just because maybe it's just one of those years, I think.
Yeah, you never know exactly what chooses. Maybe some plants will have a better idea than us. But it is a little bit tricky and a little about what's.
So we got that metal blade similar to you, so it knocked down most everything we needed to, and if not, we got the little handsaw to take care of any other bigger issues. But usually we try to do, you know, we got a decent amount of fence lines, but we try to do hit them every, you know, alternate and hit them every hard every 2 years at least.
I think that makes a lot of sense, and for me the most important thing is that we get our exterior fence done, most of them done at least every year. Our interior fences, if they get done every other year, is probably acceptable, but definitely every other year it has to get done. Otherwise we end up with stuff that's just too large to be really efficient at going through and clearing those fences out.
And then do you have any, because you pretty much have fence lines where you have some big trees and whatnot, I guess, and you've pushed out most of those, I think, by this point, or a lot of those.
We have pushed out a lot of these fence lines, but we have left what we consider to be our higher value, good, healthy growth. So if we had oaks, hickories, I'm trying to think what other trees we would have in the fence line.
Walnut maybe? Or
a walnut for sure we would keep if it was in good condition. Those trees almost always say stay if we are clearing a fence line and we can keep them. If something looks like it has a lot of dead limbs on it, it might come down even if it is a higher... When I say value, I don't mean just from a selling the wood standpoint, but a higher quality tree.
Right.
We don't tend to want to keep any of the hedge apples. We don't really like to keep, although sometimes we will, like a some sort of an evergreen cedary tree. Those are not ones that we would prefer to keep.
We do have a couple in fence lines. They do make some, like we have it on a shared boundary fence. They make some decent, we need some shade in that pasture and it makes decent shade along that fence line.
The other thing that cedars will do is they do create like a wind block. So there's one or two fence lines that are, just receive wind on a ridge. And so if they're there, sometimes we won't cut them back so that they're not in the fence line. If we can leave them just off of the fence line, we would prefer to do that.
Okay.
So try not to nail the fence to them, but allow them to be there because they do break weather.
Yep.
Especially if we're calving in the area. I think they, we might have young calves at tougher times. That's something we'll consider. Our rented farm has a ton of hedge apples all throughout the pastures. It's just everywhere. And so we would happily take any of them down that we could get, but they're just so large. And it takes like 3 weeks to cut one down. It's not worth the time and effort. Just keep weed eating, bush hogging, and trying to reduce the number of new ones growing. The one thing I'll ask before we finish on the fence line, because we both agree that we use weed eaters as our primary, you use herbicide as a secondary. My husband loves a weed eater with a the backpack straps. I could go both ways on this. I know why some people will use like a cross strap and some people the two shoulder straps.
Okay.
The backpack style. And I think there's a little bit of a preference. I will say this. I think on flat ground, the two straps and you can weight it and get it balanced on your hip is extremely convenient. But I have enough hills on my farm. I understand why people like the cross body strap because it's a little easier to adjust and turn and reset your feet a little bit when the ground is constantly. So I could go both ways. I understand both of them. I tend to use like the backpack style straps just because of habit.
Okay.
But I want to know which one you use more often. If you're doing a lot of weed eating, if you're just doing it for like 30 minutes.
We're doing a fair amount of weed eating. We pretty much have we don't have any straps. We have to suck it up and deal with it kind of mentality.
Really?
Yeah. Just grab on and it's going to be, you're going to feel like, you know, grab some, the cheapness, I guess, Tylenol at the end of the day and know that you're going to, gonna be feeling it, you know?
Gosh, I know what you're getting for Christmas. Me now. I need to know what brand of weed eater you're using, but I'm pretty sure you need a strap. I think
it's still, and it's a still, so we just, I guess there's three of us kind of like, well, I did this last time. It's your turn to take the bad job, you know?
I do think there is value in having some form of a strap because it keeps the weight balanced and it doesn't leave all the pressure out on your arms.
Yeah.
It puts a lot of the weight, you know, at the core of your body. So from an ergonomic perspective, it is useful to use some strap.
I'm not saying not to. We were just being like, well, at some point life sucks, so I just got to deal with it. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think that it's a fair point that is the reality is that you do. But I didn't know I was going to get that answer today. I'm a little shocked. But interesting. If anyone else is listening here and you want to share with us your opinion about what type of strap, we would gladly hear some other opinions on this.
Yeah. The comments are for.
Yeah, that's what comments are for. So with that, Josh, I think we'll end our topic for the day because I'm so flabbergasted by your answer. Why don't you give me one or two of your goals for the next week on the farm?
Let's see. So it's either going to be, you know, moving hay, or we're going to be like we pretty much with the equipment we have available to us is moving hay, or we have to do manure. One of the two. And so we're doing manure. We have to maybe fix real quick our hydraulic hoses on our grapple.
Okay. But
other than that, yeah, getting manure moved out or potentially clean up fence lines. Kind of like what you were talking about. Run a lot of them real quick with the grapple or a bucket and just clean up. I mean, there's a lot of wooden debris along our fence lines. Still same thing. So we got a lot of, you know, little jobs, or I can just dedicate to just moving hay and manure.
Well, both of those are important tasks. So for us, we are going out of town. Next week, I will be in Maine to do talks, some extension talks. And so we will do our podcast next week, special guest. And we will do it where I will take the podcasting equipment with Josh will be joining us on the phone. But that will be exciting.
Yep.
In the meantime, I need to, before I leave town in the next couple of days, put out a lot of hay.
Yep.
Rework my watering system for my alpaca so that they have enough water for multiple days so someone doesn't have to water them daily.
Make sure. Some big tanks, I guess? Or are you just
100-gallon tank. Okay. Nothing super large, but a larger tank just so that they only have to run those every few days instead of every day. Not that they won't still have to go and check and feed the animals, but it's just one more task that someone else has to do. It just adds time. So moving water tanks, moving feed, adding hay, putting hay in hay lines, areas that we've traditionally been unrolling where we've been feeding hay so far, but while we're gone, we'll put out enough hay for many days so that it's less work for the person that.
Right. So they can just, cows are there, there's food there.
We're hoping that we are making this a still multi-hour, but instead of 5-hour day into like a 2-hour day for the person that's checking while we're gone.
We're pretty much, you're adding fail safes.
We're adding as many fail safes as we can before we leave town. And fortunately we have good neighbors that we help them out some. They'll be around in case they're really large.
Okay. Sounds like a good plan.
As good as it can be, I guess, in the circumstances. So with that, I think we'll end our podcast for today, and we'll see you guys next week with another podcast.
Take care, everybody.
Have You Heard is a production of the University of Kentucky College of Agriculture, Food and Environment, along with the Department of Biosystems and Agricultural Engineering. Discover what's wildly possible at ca.uky.edu.